Okay, so we'll start tonight. We'll do, tonight is the Avodas Kochav in the Rambam, Perek Aleph. And we'll try to do, we'll see how far we get tonight. But I only really want to do the first, maybe two-thirds of the Perek. And the Rambam really goes through, like, the Rambam is really about the devolution of Avodah Zarah and how it progressed, how it evolved, how it changed. But he gives you a history in this Perek of also of Avraham Avinu. Like, there's like a whole prehistory of Avraham, of like what happened, what was the, you know, what his, was his story. Because basically, like, the Torah really starts going into details with Avraham only when Avraham is really from Lech Lecha, when he was 75 years old. Right? And so, like, where's you don't really, like, where does he come from? What's the whole story of Avraham Avinu? So the Rambam gives you, like, his version of the events. And he doesn't exactly tell you where it comes from, but most of it's based upon the Drashim. And what I'd like to do, hopefully, next week and the week after, is to kind of synthesize the Rambam's history of Avraham Avinu with Rashi's on Chumash, his history, and kind of like learn them. I think that they really are in line with each other, but kind of put them together. But this week we'll do basically this parak and go through these Rambams. And even though it's like my main focus is really on Avraham Avinu, but we'll just start at the beginning of the parak because it's a good parak anyway. You know, the first basically just parak Aleph.
In Mada?
In Avodah Zarah.
And
Avodah Zarah.
Page 63 again.
Yeah, got it.
63, page 63 in the one volume Rambam. Okay, in the Frankel, it's Perek Aleph L'Chalef. Okay. So we'll start like this. Bimei Enosh, Tau B'nei Adam Tau's Gedola. So in the days of Enosh, humanity made a big mistake. Okay. V'nev Ara Atzas Chachmei Oso Ador. And the bar, it's like a fool or a mistake. So the thought process of the chacham of that door, they made a big mistake. Nevara, I became like foolish or mistaken. The enosh atzmo menatoim, and enosh himself was one of those who started this whole mistake. Right? And this is all based upon the pasuk in Bereishis. It says by enosh, it says az hucha likro b'shem Hashem. Right? And Azhuchal is, Rashi learns it means like Nase Chulin. Is they started calling the Shem Hashem on like Avodah Zarah, on like physical objects. Right? So it's like that pasuk tells you that Bimei Enosh is when it really began the whole Avodah Zarah process. So Enosh is a couple generations after Adam Rishon. Right? Vizu Haisatosam. And this was their mistake. Amru. Since God created these stars and these planets to control the world, right? Like the moon controls the tides and the sun controls the growth of plants, right? And all these different things. They were able to see that the planets had influence on earthly affairs. Right? They didn't exactly understand how it worked, but they knew that these planets were relevant for. Without the sun, nothing's going to work. Without the moon, you're not going to have a lot of problems also. And I guess they had other planets there. So God created these amazing planets, which seem perfect in the heavens, right? V'nasdam b'marim, when he places them up high in the heavens, v'chalak lehem kavod, which presumably is a very prestigious position. Who wouldn't want to be in outer space going in circles all day long, right? That's like, you've made it. If you get to that position, you've really made it. So he gave them a lot of kavod, those planets. V'heim shamshim v'shamshim l'fanav, and they are like his servants up high in the sky that serve him, right, carry out his will. R'uyin heim l'shabcham u'l'farim u'l'chalik lam kavod. So it's appropriate to praise these planets and these stars and to glorify them and to give them honor, to honor these m'shamshim, these servants of the king. V'zehu ratzon HaKel Baruch Hu, and this is the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. L'gadel u'l'chabed misha gadlo v'chibdo, is to raise up and to honor somebody who he raises up and honors. Right? That's how he treats them. He gave them this exalted position in the heavens. and he made them great, and he wants us to treat them the same way he treats them. Kimosha Melech rotza lechabed avadav va'om d'lefanav, just like a king wants you to treat with respect his servants who serve him, right? A king has servants and the people who function for the king, right? And his governors and his ministers and his whole cabinet. So he wants you to treat these people with respect. V'zeu kodesh ha-melech, and that is the very kavod to the king, is to treat not just the king with respect, but to treat his ministers and his servants and all his, right, all the people who, his governor, all the people he appoints, you should treat them with respect. And that is kavod to the king. Right? That was their svara. Okay? It's interesting svara. Does it sound right? Is it good? Is it a good svara? Okay, good. Sounds right. Yeah, it's good svara. Okay. Kivan sh'ala davar zalibam. Once they had this thought, they had this mistake. They started building temples to the stars, to make sacrifices to them, and to praise them and glorify them in words, and to bow down to them, in order through their corrupted thoughts, this is what they thought, but their whole intent was in order that God, right, the Creator, should be pleased with them. They want God to be pleased with them. So they say, look, if God's the king, he shows respect to these planets and these stars, so we'll respect them too, and God's going to be happy with us because we're just in line with his will. V'zeh haya ikar vodazara. And this was the ikar, the basis, the very foundation, or yesuret, the ikar, the essence, of which Avodah Zarah is built upon. Okay? You see, because this mistake leads them to building temples and sacrificing and bowing down and praising all these created beings. V'kach hem omrim ovdei ha-yodim ikara, and this is what they say, the ovdei Avodah Zarah, who really understand the ikar of Avodah Zarah, the essence, the basis of Avodah Zarah. Lo shehem omrim she'ein sham eloka elakochav zeh. Okay. Not the wrong address. It's two blocks that way. Okay. Not that they say there's no other God except for this this star, right? They understand that the real God is the creator of the world, and the star is just his servant. But they serve the servant because that's what they think the king wants.
So
that's what Yirmiyah says, is that who doesn't fear you, the king of all nations, right? It's referring to Hashem, obviously. He's the king of all the nations, even the Ovdei Kochavim, because to God it's fitting for all them to recognize, because all the wise men of the nations, they recognize there's nobody else like a Kadosh Baruch Hu. He's totally unique and different, right? And uba'achas yivar v'yichsu, but they all made this one mistake where they were foolish and they made a stupid error to worship these ovdei kochavim, these idols, right? These stars. Kolomar hakol yodim sh'ata hu akel levada levadcha. Right, Levadach, you're the only God. Everybody knows that. Aval ta'usam v'kaslusam. But their mistake and their foolishness, shemedam shezeh hevel ritzonu, but their mistake is, they think that this nonsense of bowing down to these idols and stuff, that's your will. Okay? So the question really is, we'll start off with this halacha aleph, is what exactly was the mistake? What's so bad about the svara of Dor Enosh? Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I think there's like two possible approaches. Okay, I think the one that's going to come out from the Rambam here is almost, you'll see like the problem is like once you start worshiping a created entity and a physical entity, even if you have the right idea, right, that there really is one creator, beyond all this physical creation, there's one thing that created all these things, that's the real God. But still, once you start building temples and sacrificing animals and right, bowing down to like the stars, the moon, the sun, and all these things. So like it doesn't just stop there. It just, you'll see how it progresses, and it will really, it'll go eventually. Eventually, at the end of the day, they're not going to really remember that there is this creator who's right. It's almost like no nafkamin anymore, mm-hmm. right? So it leads to a bad place, but it leads to really a corrupt idea. You're forgetting the idea of God. So that's one thing, and I think from the parak of the Rambam, it kind of like is borne out.
Maybe you have to explain why this particular thing is also bad.
Right, why this thing is also bad, not just because what
not
it leads to.
It's going to lead to.
I agree with that. I'm just saying the first thing, and anything from the Rambam itself, that's like almost what you'll see. You'll get the impression from this parak. That's like the whole problem is it's like it ends up leading ultimately to that. But I agree, it's not like it's not mashma to me that were it not to lead anywhere else, this would be fine, because the Rambam says. Bedaitam hara, right? He calls it evil das. So you could say it's evil das because where it leads to, but I don't know. It's hard to say that they just didn't realize it's a slippery slope. Okay, so that's one thing. One thing is it is a slippery slope because man's emotions naturally have a tendency to go in a certain direction, which Rambam is going to bear out in the next halacha. Mm-hmm. Okay, but I think the deeper idea of what's really wrong with it and the why it's ikar avodah zarah is because it's really. I think the flaw in the mashal is that you only honor the servants of the king and his avadim when the king is not present. Right? When the king is present, you don't honor his servants. There's like a halacha if you don't stand up for a talmud in front of his rebbe. But even though you normally stand up for somebody, he's a talmud chacham, right? But when he's in front of his rebbe, you don't stand up for him, right? Unless his rebbe gives him kavod also, right? So you don't honor the servant of the king in front of the king. You only honor the king. So like the premise of this whole argument is that the king is really too far removed. We can't honor the king. We can't praise the king. We can't sacrifice to him. It's like where is he? He's gone. He's the Bori Olam. He's too far removed. I can't. There's not something that we can relate to in a direct way. Right, so what we'll do is we'll relate to these things as intermediaries. Right, we'll praise them, we'll worship them, and through that, God's going to do good for us. But we can't directly relate to Him, and that's really the ikkar. That's the starting point of avodah zarah, is where you have the sense that you can't relate to God. He's too abstract. He's too far removed, and therefore you have to relate to something that's more concrete that you can see, that you can watch as it changes in the sky, and you can. Right, your emotions can grab a hold of, right, God, and if you say God's almost, he's not present, right, he's not present, these things are present, these things are here, these we can relate to, God we can't, and from that mistake where you make the, like you can't pray to God, you can't worship him, and you have to use these things, that's the foundation, not, it's more almost, it's like an emotional mistake, it is a philosophical error, but it's laced with an emotional error of that causes it, of like he's too far removed, it doesn't satisfy emotions to relate to him, and then you get this idea that it's impossible. How could we pray to him? It's too far removed. How could we worship him? So rather, we'll take these things that are servants, and he would want us to glorify them, right? But it's not. It's only if he's not there. If he's there, you should be praising him. Why are you praising? You don't praise a servant when the king is there. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the... what's wrong about it. And I think that's, you know, the kernel, the starting point of avodah zarah is this idea of God's too far, he's too far removed. And even though philosophically it's a nice idea, there's one creator, great, but that's not relevant to me. Because what am I going to do about that? I can't pray to that. I don't even know what that means. You know, it's like an abstract philosophical idea, but it's not relevant to a person's life in terms of worship. That was the mistake. That's the basic mistake that avodah zarah is premised upon. Okay. Now in halacha base, the acher she'archu hayamim. So as the days went on, amdu b'vnei adam nevi'e sheker. So now people came out, false prophets. V'amru shakel tziva lehem v'amru lehem ivdu kochaploni. They said God told us to tell you. He wants you to know this, that you should worship this star. O kol kochavim, or all the stars, right? The whole zodiac. Vikrivulo, and right, I guess bring animals, worship it. Finiskulo, wine, whatever, who knows, right? Pour libations, kach v'kach. Ubanulo hechal, build this temple. V'asu tzuraso, make this image of this star. Kedei lishtachavos la kol ha'am hanashim haktanim v'shar am haaretz. In order that the whole people, the whole nation, right, the women, children, and the rest of the people, besides these false prophets, should bow down to this image. Umodiyah lahem tzura shebadam ilibo. And they told the people to make a certain image which they imagined, they came up with in their imagination. A person free associates come up with a lot of interesting stuff. The Omer, Zuhi Tzuras Akochav Ploni. This is what this star, it looks like a dragon with, you know, a horse's tail and a fish's scales. That's what it looks like. Okay? Right, what's a dragon? I'll tell you. Okay, so that's, they came up with it and it was very interesting, these things. And Shehodiyu Benivuasa, they said, God told me in my prophecy, this is what this star looks like, right? Somehow, it looks like a cow, and that's what you should worship. So they made all these idols, these images in the temples. V'tachas ilanos, underneath every tree. Ubarashi aharam, the top of mountains. V'alakvos, on the hills. Basically, everywhere you looked. Right, it became very, very popular, this new idea of Avodah Zarah. Oh, to make the images of the dragon, cow, horse in the temple, right? Uh-huh. Make an idol of it.
Oh, so they made it on the temples.
They put it under trees, okay. Everywhere. These idols, these images, very creative images, were everywhere. And they would gather, and they'd bow down to them. That this image, right, this star, it can do good for you and it could harm you. And it's appropriate to serve it and to fear it. And the priests, they said to them that through worshiping this star, You're gonna be very successful, and you should do. These are the things you should do. These are the things you shouldn't do. Okay, so that's the second stage. Okay, we'll continue a little bit further, right? To the next, right? Vishilu kozumacherim and other liars, right? After these first false prophets, right? The first false prophets were saying that the Borei Olam, the real creator, gave them a prophecy to build all these Avodah Zarah temples and these images and to worship these things. But now these new liars said like this, V'ischil kozum acher lamod v'lomar shekochav atmo galgal o'malach dibar imahem, that the star itself, or the planet, right, the sun spoke to me, or some angel spoke to them, v'amar lehem ivduni, serve me, v'kacha v'kach, this and this, exactly what to do, v'hodiyu lehem derech avodaso, this is what I want you to do. The way you serve me is by giving this guy all your money. Right? That's the way you serve me. And this type of worship, pagan worship basically, it's spread throughout the world. And every, since obviously all these people were liars, they're making up these prophecies and there's all going through their imagination. So everybody comes up with a different image, and everybody comes up with a different way of worship, right? And even though like there's an underlying unity of all these things, of basically it's all made up, right, by these false prophets, but all these the particulars are totally different, right? All of Avodah Zarah, since Avodah Zarah comes from the imagination, all the specific derech avodah is all going to be unique to each false prophet. He's going to come up with something else in his own imagination. Okay, so what's the cause of the second stage? Right, where does the second stage come from? Right, what's the progression? The Rambam's saying that you have that first stage, which was the mistake of Dor Enosh.
Yeah.
Okay, that was the first mistake, and then after, as time went on, there was a further stage. Right,
the tzuros that they would put on.
Correct. So I'm asking, what is the essential element of the second stage, and what brings it about? Right.
Okay.
Simple question. So Gil has a good point. If you're caught, huh? Is that one of the major elements of the second stage was the tzura? Was they made an idol? Right. that's supposed to represent a specific star, a specific planet, as it right has the image that the that they made up with a specific image, right? So why didn't they have that in the first stage?
Or why did they need it?
In the second, well, why wasn't that there in the first stage? Because the whole, how are you going to, see, the first stage was like, it's true, it was based upon an emotional mistake, but it was an error, a philosophical error. Mm-hmm. So you think God wants you to worship the star, that's what he wants. But like, what does the star look like? It looks like a little dot in the sky. What does the sun look like? It looks like a yellow circle, right? The star doesn't look like a cow or a dragon, right? It doesn't look like these things. So the only way you can get off the ground and you can actually say, well, this is the idol, this is the image that represents that star right over there, that's this cow horse, right? How do you do that? The way you do that is you have a false prophet, right? You need a Navi. You need God to tell the Navi what exactly the image he should make. And if you're just going to really go based upon philosophy, albeit bad philosophy, you're not going to deduce that the Big Dipper looks like a cow, right? You're not going to get these. I mean, I guess you can kind of, they kind of do draw, connect the dots and the stars, and that's kind of actually how they worked. Obviously, there's some sort of connection. But like, it seems that when you're just going based upon bad philosophy, you don't end up creating these images to represent them. It's totally arbitrary. It's only once you need prophecy. You need God to tell you what the star looks like and what the planet looks like in order for you to represent it. Okay? Mm-hmm. So the other major new element is these false prophets. Right? In the first one, it wasn't based upon prophecy. It was based upon bad philosophy. The second stage is the prophets. Now, why... Where do the prophets come from? Right? This one's easy. Right?
Power-hungry individuals.
Yeah, very good. Power-hungry individuals. We got those nowadays, too.
Oh, yes.
It's just the system is open. The system is open for people to take advantage of.
Yeah.
If once you say that everybody's bowing down to these things, they're building temples, right? So if you get a prophecy, you can open up your own temple. Right? That's great. I'm telling you something. Once you open up your own temple, you got it made, because you know exactly how to run the thing. I tell you, this is what you got to do. You got to do this, and God told me to tell you. You want to give me some money? That will be very good for you. And if you don't do that, that's going to be very bad for you. You see, that was the third thing they introduced. Is Metiva o Meria? Is they started scaring the people. They said, if you don't follow in line with this worship, you're going to be punished. Bad things are going to happen to you. And if you do, good things will happen to you. Right? So they used you know, fear and greed. They used those two emotions to get the hamonam, right? All the people to basically fall in line with their avodah zarah that they made up.
Mm-hmm.
So these people, yes, and these people are very creative individuals. Right? They weren't lacking creativity. That was the great imaginations. And also they knew, you got to know the right, it's not so easy to be a false prophet and to start up a whole new religion. You know, you need a certain amount of creative genius to really pull it off and to have something that taps into the unconscious of mankind. So it's not so easy. It's certain people have that talent and who have they have to have the will to lie. Most people have that ability and they use this opening, right? The avodah zarah, the religion, they use that as a means of acquiring power and wealth and control,
mm-hmm.
right? And that was like, and that's just like it would happen any right? Just that would happen no matter what system you have. You're always going to have, if it's open to people abusing it and grabbing power in order to lie to others, in order to trick them into giving them their wealth and giving them control and having them, it's going to happen. Right, so it's nothing. I don't think it's anything really unique to avodah zarah. It's just the innate. Every institution lends itself to people taking advantage of it, and people are going to take advantage of it. And that's what these nevi'ei sheker are going to be. Right, first the nevi'ei sheker had to play on the fact that God told them, because that's what it in originally. When to go from Dor Enosh to this, you got to say God, because nobody believed in these kochavim as powers in the Noah, right? It's originally, so you say God told me, but eventually, as time goes on, you can say the star told me to worship it. Oh, a new star came about. He wants to be worshipped in this way. Okay, so it's and you introduce this idea of Meitiva Meiria, that it benefits and it harms. Now, as a side point, is it true? Does worshiping this idol cause a person good things? And does, if they don't worship it, right, will it cause them harm? Right? Is that really true? Right, so what do you say? Is it true?
No, it's all fake.
Right, L'chor, you'd say it's all fake. But the reality is like this, is that there is a tremendous placebo-nocebo effect from the stuff. If you know, especially if you know the right way of doing it, if you know the right way of setting up an Avodah Zarah, which is like the Rambam gets to later on, and with all these fortune tellers and these sign makers and Lochesh al-Make, right, exactly the right things to do. So they work with a certain placebo effect and a nocebo effect. And if once everybody's doing it, and everybody tells you if you don't do it, you're going to suffer. So there's a person, bad things start happening to that person, either because they unconsciously bring it upon themselves, or the society as a whole believes bad things will happen to them, so they'll bring it about, so to speak, automatically. And it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy, right? From this, it's a false prophecy, but it's self-fulfilling in the sense that once it gets started and people start gathering around to it, it becomes prevalent and everywhere. If you don't fall in line with it, you're going to suffer. Most people, right? You can have a person who recognizes the whole thing as stupidity. But like in general, most people are susceptible to social influence. And if everybody tells them bad things are going to happen to them, bad things do happen to them. If they think they're going to be successful, they'll help them be successful. So there really becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy and a reality on its own right, and a power that Avodah Zarah really takes on, right? The koach hatoma, right? A natural psychological effect through a person's unconscious, especially when the person creating the religion and the Avodah Zarah knows what he's doing. He knows the right image to pick. He knows the right things to say, that this is you should do and good things will happen, and this is what you shouldn't do, bad things. He knows, if you have to know what you're doing, okay? You can't, you guys, I don't know if you guys could do it on your own, okay? It's not so easy. But a real creative, these guys, they know, start a religion, they know exactly the right thing to do. They can tap into the unconscious of the specific society they're living in. They pick the right things, and it works. It works through the unconscious, right? So that was the main step here, is they started, people took advantage of the system, right? It's there for taking advantage of, and somebody's going to take advantage of it. Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Now let's see the Rambam. Okay, v'kivan sh'ar choyam, and back in Lachabez, v'kivan sh'ar choyam, and as time went on even more, nishtakeya Hashem ha'nechbad v'anorim pi kol ha'ikum umidaitam v'lo ikiruhu. So eventually it was totally forgotten, the idea of one creator, right? The Mamzi Kol Nimtza, necessary existence, was totally forgotten. Nobody spoke about him anymore. And they didn't know about him, and they couldn't even recognize the idea, right? Because it becomes the whole idea of one creator who you have no relationship to. You don't pray to him, you don't bow down, you don't sacrifice. Everything you do and your fate is really based upon these other sub-deities. Eventually, you forget. Nobody talks about it, but, right? It's totally, the whole idea becomes forgotten until, right, they started off with this idea of, they had an idea of a creator, but eventually it becomes totally forgotten. Okay. V'nimtzu kol am ha'aretz v'hanashim haktanim einam yodin el atzura shel eitz v'even v'heichel shel binyan sh'eschanchu mikatnusa mishtachafas lahem u'la'avdan l'shavu b'shman. And it came out, the entire people, men, women, children, everybody, all they knew was this particular image, this wooden image of the idol, of a stone, right, wood, stone, and the temple, that they were trained from their youth, from the time they were born, they were trained to bow down to this idol in this temple, and to swear in the name of this Avodah Zarah, and that's how they were raised, and they never knew anything else, right? And they never, just the person on his own doesn't question these things in general, right? So it became they were raised in that society, and they forgot entirely the idea of God. V'chachamim shayibahem, and now they did have some intelligent people, right? These intelligent people are the ones, right, kigon akomrim chiyotzbem, like the ones who were in charge of the, right, the intelligentsia, the the priests, the ones who were controlling the temples, who controlling the money, the power, the land, right? Who had the control and power and controlled the religion in the society. So even then, midamim she'in shem aloka ela kochavim agagalim shenatzur tzuros ha'elu biglalim lidmosam. So they were a little bit more sophisticated. You see, the priests and the intelligent ones, they realized that this is just a stupid idol. This is just a piece of wood, right? I can make it myself. I cut down a tree and make an idol. That's not so hard. So that's not really a god. But they thought that the god is really the star, and this is the image of the god, of the star, right? So they were sophisticated enough to realize that the actual physical idol was just an idol, but they thought that somehow it had to contain the representation of the real god, which was the sun, the moon, the stars.
Like if you would have gone up close to the star, like if you looked at the star up close, this is what it would look like?
Oh, I don't know. You see, that, I don't know how, they probably believed in the false prophets, that this is really the right image to represent that star.
Oh, well.
I mean, if you went up close, would it really look like a cow? I don't know. I don't know if they held that. Yeah. But this is what the star wants to look like. Okay? It wants to look like this cow horse. And that's what it told the prophet. Okay, but they realized that the cow horse image, right, wooden stone thing, is not really, it's just a, see, the people, the Hamon, the 99%ers, they thought, okay, that this was really, that's really the god, the idol. Right, but the 1%ers, the intelligent Komrim, the priests who had the, they realized this is just, that's an unsophisticated view of Odazara. The more sophisticated view of Odazara, which the priests had, is that they realize that this is just an idol, but the real god is the star itself. The sun is the real power, not the image of the sun. Right? That's what they believed. Okay. Avotzur ha'olamim, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? The real source for the entire universe. Lo ha'yisham akiro v'lo yodo el yechidim ba'olam. So nobody recognized him or knew God except for certain individuals. Okay, so Rambam's list of five people. Chanoch, Mesushalach, Noach, Shem, Ve'ever. Right? How does the Rambam know these five people? How does he know Mesushalach knew God? How do you know that? How do you know Ever? Right? Noach, you know, is a tzaddik. He was a Navi. That we know. Shem, we also can see. Right? Yishkon Hashem, Ba'olei Shem. He was the good son. Noach gave him a bracha. Right? We know about Shem. But how does he know Mr. Shalach Ever Chanoch? Right? Ever was like a grandson, a great grandson of Shem. But how do you know he's like a big, how do you know he was a tzaddik? How do you know he knew God?
Didn't Avram learn in Yeshiva?
Yaakov went in Yeshiva, Shem Ever.
Oh, there we go.
14 years. Well, how do they know he went in Shem? How do you know Ever was one of the Rosh Yeshiva? Where did Chazal get that from?
I don't know.
Why isn't that Yeshiva?
Yeshiva Shem Ve'ever? That's a good question.
Their shears would be super easy to follow.
Right. Shem Ve'ever. Well,
be good.
No, right. They were good. They learned Torah, according to Rashi. So we'll hopefully next week, maybe, or the week after, we'll take up how the Rambam knows this. From Rashi, you'll be able to see why these guys are, how you can really see from the Pesukim that these guys are really word tzaddikim. So this is basically how the world was carrying on until the pillar of the world came about, right? And that was until he was born, which is Avram Avinu, right? It was the pillar upon which the whole world ultimately rests because of this one person, Avram Avinu. Okay, so is there any questions or anything on the second stage about what basically happened here in the second stage? It's just a regular, it's basically my main point with the second stage of Avodah Zarah is that it's just the way, nothing changes, okay? Nothing changes, it's the same institutions, the same people and the same social structures that you have in those days and the same ones you have in these days that you've always had throughout in between. It's the same idea. It's nowadays, the main method is you got to scare the people about something bad's going to happen to you, or you promise them that certain good things will happen to you, right? And then you make an Avodah Zarah, to represent that and say, if you do these things, you'll get the good thing, and if you don't do it, you get the bad thing. So like nowadays, it's you say, there's this big global warming, okay? It's a big fear, right? It's bad things are going to happen. The whole world's going to be destroyed. So what do? You create a whole government bureaucracy, right? The EPA, right? That's the modern ideological thing becomes you create another government institution. And now you got to get money for this institution. You got to support it. And they become priests who work for it. They're called bureaucrats nowadays, right? And you have another fear, another fear. What's going to happen bad if we don't have another agency? And that and the power accumulates into the hands of the elites because they scare the Hamonam. They promise them good things, right? And they scare them by bad things. And every time there's like a new fear and a new threat, you create another government agency, another bureaucracy that has to be supported, that the people have to support. The whole idea is simply is one thing: is that there's the elite controlling class, right? The few want to have control over the many. They want to have power, control, and money, and they create these imaginary things because they're more intelligent. They take advantage of the less intelligent masses, and they create and they control them through these avodah zarah. But nowadays, nothing really changes. It's the same exact phenomenon nowadays. It's not in the religious. It's a separate thing. You're going to go old. You're going to bad things happen, you get sick, you can be abandoned, so you need Social Security, or you need Obamacare, you need all these different institutions. It's the same thing, right? It's the same point. It becomes for the ruling class to, they're promising they're going to help the little guy, but it never actually works out for the little guy, right? He's just always falling in line with what the Kohen, what the priests, what the Chachamim of the generation, how they take just another method of taking advantage. So Avodah Zarah became that kind of a system. See, that's why it devolved, why it couldn't just remain like Dor Enosh, because it's susceptible. You have to realize when you start an institution, an idea, a philosophical idea, what will this institution morph into, right, when the natural injustices and power struggles and money struggles that happens in a society, how are they going to take advantage of this institution? And that's what it's going to become. And if it creates an opening for a false prophet, they're going to be false prophets, right? The natural forces of man that exist in any society, that's what causes the devolution of Avodah Zarah, and for it to change and to morph into a complex system with many gods watching over many different things and different fears, is because of the, it gives the Komrim, the Chachamim, the leaders, it gives them the ability to control the Hamon. And that's what they're really looking for. They take advantage of the system in order to really control everybody. And it's successful because people are raised from the youth to believe in it. And people do not question that which they are taught from their youth. Okay, and that's it. And that's, they believe and they follow and they're afraid and they think they have to do good and it works. Okay? Until you get to Avraham Avinu, okay? He wouldn't take that from nobody, okay? Avraham. Okay, see Halacha Gemara. Kivan shenigmal isan zeh, hischil l'shotet b'dayto v'hukatan ulachshol b'yom v'layla. So he began, one Chazal says when he was 3 years old. Ram seems to agree with both Chazals. We'll see the second one in a second. But as soon as he was weaned, right, 3 years old, me too, he began to think in his mind and to question day and night constantly. He was a thinker, right? He was bothered. So how could it be that this planet, it constantly goes around and nobody's pushing it, right? He didn't hold by inertia, Avraham Avinu. He was an Aristotelian. So he had been bothered by this big question. It can't move itself, right? It's impossible. Nobody taught him, right? He was totally an independent thinker. Ela mushka vor kastim, he was sunk in or kastim. It seems like the Ram holds that was his birthplace, right? Ramban does not hold that way, but it's not really relevant. He was certainly, this period of his life, he was in or kastim. Bein ovde avodah zarah hatipshim. So he was in or kastim amongst the ovde avodah zarah, the fools, right? But he himself was a thinker, and he started questioning scientifically. Right? He was a scientist, basically. He started thinking, this doesn't really add up. It doesn't really give a good scientific explanation for how exactly the world works. These Avodah Zarahs, they, you know, they have their place. They kind of explain certain things, but it doesn't really explain the big questions of how does the stars move? What causes them to move? What's right? Basically, well, who made the Avodah Zarahs? Right? There's so many of these different gods. Well, who made them? What makes them move? Right? What makes the star special? Who moves the star? Okay, I don't want to get into the Rambam's Avram's proof, right, which is the same as the Rambam's proof, but that's right. That's the main point. I don't think is a specific argument Avram Avinu used. Is the point is that there was Avram, through investigating the world in a scientific, rational manner, arrived at certain questions that this Avodah Zarah system, this ideology, a system of thought, right, was not sufficient to explain the natural phenomena that he observed. Right, that should be, you know, that happened later on, many years later, in a different, well, not really. So that was the main point, is that he, through his own thought, he realized it's insufficient intellectually, doesn't explain it rationally, and something must be going on here. The other Imah B'Cholam, Odom Adazare, the Avram's father, mother, and the entire nation of Orkastim, people in Orkastim, worship of the Zara, Vahuaya Ovidimahim. And when he was originally being raised, he worshiped with them. That's what you do socially. He didn't want to break from the social patterns. At this point, he just had questions. So he followed their minhag, their customs. He worshiped with them. The Libo Mishote to Mevin, but his mind, his heart was constantly seeking, trying to understand, Acha Hisik Derech Emes, until he understood the true way. Vehaven Kavat Sedek Midaito Nechon. He understood exactly the right, the proper answer and the true path to, through his mind. The Yedash Yesham Eloka Echad, Vuhu Manega Galgal, so there's one God who really controls the spheres, the planets, Vuhu Barakol, and this one God created everything, V'im B'chol Nimsa Eloka Chutzimenu, and there's nothing else really besides this one God. Right? He used philosophical reasoning, scientific reasoning, until he arrived at the truth, and this is like this the fundamental yesod of
philosophical, yeah, you can't say scientific.
Well, he did it through scientific knowledge. He started through a scientific inquiry, trying to understand the nature of the physical world, and he arrived at certain principles, and we realized that these principles are insufficient to explain all these phenomena. There must be some force outside of this world, which, in order to explain
like,
this world.
Like negative knowledge, like, he used it to, like, disprove.
No, not negative knowledge. Negative knowledge is a different idea. This is the philosophy of science. Because once a person has a scientific understanding of the world, right, a rational understanding of the natural world, so then he abstracts principles, he tries to understand how does the world work. And if you do that, ultimately you arrive at a point where you say, well, there's no way that this world can explain itself. There must be something, some other being which created the world. And that was, however exactly he, whatever his scientific framework was, whether it was like Aristotle or something else, a person arrives at that point. And it's not science at that point, it becomes philosophy of science. But you have to have a correct science in order to arrive at that philosophical conclusion. And that's how, according to the Rambam, Avraham Avinu really started. It's through that rational investigation into the natural world, he arrived at certain basically, he arrived at the conclusion that the world is not self-explanatory, and there must be, right, and all these Avodah Zarahs that everybody's worshipping are really just created entities, and there must be something else beyond this world that is the ultimate cause and created all these things. Right? And then through other philosophical arguments, you can realize that it can't be, there's many of them, there's really just ultimately going to be one thing which is responsible for everything else. Okay, and that's really, to go into exactly this, that's really going to Yesod HaTorah, right? Yesod HaTorah, Perek Aleph, right? A little bit more in Vuchim, and basically that's really the philosophical arguments, how a person knows that God exists. But that's what basically Avraham Avinu, through his own mind, he apparently, according to the Rambam, he was able to figure out that the world was created, Yesh Me'ayin, which is an interesting idea, and he was, that there's only one God, and to realize that this Avodah Zarah wasn't sufficient to Avraham. That it didn't make sense, that it really sufficed to explain the world. Okay, we're just going to go a little bit further and then we're going to stop, because I don't really want to finish this parak. I really just want to get to Avraham leaving Orkastim. Okay. V'yada shekola am toin. He realized that everybody was making a mistake. okay, the entire world around him, they're all crazy. The Davar Shegarem Lahem Litos, and he realized it's not that they're just, they're all crazy, because then maybe if you think everybody else is crazy, you might be the crazy guy. You have to also understand what exactly caused them to make a mistake. Zesh Ovnes Kochavim Veset Siros Anch Avad Emes Midaitam is how they started off. He realized that once they started worshiping all these idols and they worship all these stars, then ultimately that causes them to forget
the fact, truth behind them.
Yeah, the real truth, that there's one God beyond everything. Even though maybe they knew that originally, but he realized after a certain point you're not going to remember that, because like we explained, it becomes irrelevant to a person's life and that idea becomes forgotten. Mm-hmm. It doesn't benefit the priests to tell you about them. What is it, to tell you about the one God. What does that do for them? It doesn't benefit the Kohanim. They're not going to talk about that. Uben Arbaim Shana Hikar Avram Isboro. When Avram was 40 years old, he recognized his creator. Or he started when he was 3 and the knowledge culminated when he was 40. Okay, if you see the Kesef Mishnah, he mentions that basically it's based on the Medrash Rabbah. There's 3 Medrash, I think there's 3 Midrashim, and it's Rabbi Yochanan and Chanina's position. They all say it's Ben Arbaim Mishmona, that he was 48 years old when he recognized his creator. Right, the Rambam had the Girsa, which Radak also had, that he was 40 years old when he recognized his creator. Right, but they held it was 48. Or it's 2 Girsas in the Medrash. So the question is, where does that number come from? How does Rambam know that? Right, how do you know he was 40 years old when he recognized God? See, well, you could say he started when he was a young kid. Okay, fine. I can kind of hear that. That's just saying there's a certain, if you analyze Adam's personality, you see he was a thinker, a questioner, then you realize that people, when they're young, with that kind of a mind, it starts when they're a child. Okay? But how do you know that he recognized the came to the conclusion when he was 48 years old or 40 years old? Right? Okay, good. That's right. Hopefully next week we'll be able to explain where that number comes from. Right?
Sounds good.
It's a pretty good question. Well, hold on. We're not done. Okay. Here's the last part. Kivan Shehika Veyeda, once he recognized and he knew, Hischa Lahashiv Tshuvos of Bnei Yor Kastam. He started making arguments and giving answers to these people. V'larach Dini Mahem, and setting up debates. V'lomar Shein Zu Derech Emesh Atem Holchem Ba. You're going, you guys are off, you're crazy. It's not the right way. V'shibar Tzlamim, he destroyed idols. V'hischil, right, this is certainly was not appreciated by the priests and the ruling class. They certainly did not appreciate what he was doing. V'hischil Adil Am Shein Roy Lavod El Aloka Olam V'lo Roy Lishtachvos V'hakav L'Nesach, and appropriate to serve God, to bow down to Him, and to offer sacrifices. Kidei sheyakiruhu kol habruim habayim. In order that, you see, the Rambam's already giving an idea of what's the reason. Why is it appropriate to bow down to God and to sacrifice to God? In order that the future people should recognize God. If you worship God and you build a Beis HaMikdash and you have sacrifices to the Shem Hashem, the true idea of God, so then that becomes something. Then other people that come and see, what are you doing? It causes them to recognize the true idea of God. Right? So the ultimate objective of all these avodos, Avraham Avinu was explaining, why is it appropriate to worship the creator of the world? In order that people should have the true idea of God. V'roi la'abi l'shaber kol tziros, and it's appropriate to destroy all these avodazars and idols, k'dei sh'lo yitib behem kol am, k'mo elu she'im adam ish'in shem loka ela elu, and you should destroy these avodazars. Why? So that people shouldn't come and make a mistake. It's in the Rambam's framework, the ultimate good and bad is, does a person have a true idea of God or a false idea, right? And the idols cause a person to forget the true idea of God and to believe in all these false ideas. And therefore, you should destroy them. They're a michshel. They're a stumbling block for people. And you should set up a official, organized religion where you worship God and you sacrifice and you do all these things, because that causes people to have a true idea. Okay, that was Avram's argument. Of why, right? Of what it causes. What does avodah zarah? What does worshiping these stars lead to? Forgetting the true idea of God, and ultimately this entire society of priests and everybody's got their own avodah zarah. And worshiping the true idea of God, if we set that up, not like Doranish did, but set up in a worship of sacrifice to the true idea of God, then that will cause all future generations to—they'll see the organized religion and they'll see who's the idea of God, and you'll tell them the true idea of God, and that will maintain the true concept of who created the world. Okay, and the last line here, Kivon Shegavar Lambareos. Once he obviously was victorious in his arguments, he was a master magician, and he debated them very well, and he proved to them that they were crazy. Not so hard to prove to these guys that they're wrong. Pikesh HaMelech LaHargo, so the government, the king, right, decided it's this guy is no good. He's obviously a threat to national security, which he was, right? And you got to kill this guy, right? You can't let this guy. This guy is basically, he's starting to get followers. People are listening to him, and he's right. Oh, that's bad. That's very bad. And he's a threat to the whole political institution, right? The whole power of the king rested. It was very much united with religious authority. His control over religious institutions, right? The fact that the king had the ability to put out a new Avodah Zarah, open up a new government agency, which take care of certain fears. The king's ability to control Avodah Zarah and to sanction certain Avodah Zarahs and to get rid of our other ones, that was his main method of controlling the public. So Avraham Avinu was a threat to the state, national security. The king decided, we got to take care of this rebel, because that's what he was, undermining, right? He was undermining the entire authority of the state. So the king tried to kill him. Nasal Anes, a miracle was done for Avraham Avinu, v'yatza l'charam, and he left to Charam. Okay, and that's where I'm going to stop. And this part, and the rest of the story, the Rambam continues. It's fascinating, but what I'm going to try to do next week is we'll try to do Chumash and Rashi, and I will show you something pretty interesting. Try to see a few of the sources of the Rambam. And then, we'll take up next week the connection between Avraham and Nimrod, right? And the Migdal Bavel, right? And that's what we'll take up next week. I'll show you, hopefully, how I think Rashi is learning similar to the Rambam, right?